Okay, Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. We'll go to the end of the chapter, Revelation 12, 13. When the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this look ahead that we have no doubt the outcome of this world system. We have no doubt about the demise of the devil. We have no doubt about the place of your people, the final place that we will occupy. We do not fear that Israel will be destroyed. We do not fear that the church will be destroyed. We know that all will be brought saved into your family because, Lord, you've chosen to do this. We thank you that we can see it and rejoice in it and learn from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a concept that we generally appreciate, and that is a good loser. We don't like to lose. We'd rather win. They say it's easy to be a good winner. Be a good loser now, that's a different thing. If you can lose with honor and with appreciation that someone just at that time happened to win. I bet some of you know people who are bad losers. They get angry. They say things were done deceptively. They were cheated or something like that. And so they show their character often that way. A good loser is someone we respect, you feel good about. Maybe on the other team, he was an opponent. He may be a player that has done a lot to cause defeat of your team in the past. But when he's beaten, he says, okay, you won. And we respect that. But a bad loser, bad sport. The devil is a bad loser. The devil, we never see anywhere where the devil says, you know, I lost. I just lost. He is the father of poor losers. But he's much more than that. And being called the father, look at John 8 verse 44. The devil has a lot of children. And the Bible says that the devil is your father, or the Lord is your father. So there's only those two possibilities. But being of your father, the devil, we'll see in John 8, 44, means you act like him. John 8, 44, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, who were supposed to be the religious elite, the ones who knew God most. You are of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. We have that by birth, that our father is the devil. And to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the the Son of God is a monumental change. But the devil likes to portray himself as a good person. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. His servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." So when the devil comes to you to get you to do something, to tempt you, it's always as an angel of light. How did he do with Eve? "Oh, this fruit will be good for you." God is the bad one here. "This fruit will make you wiser." The devil likes to be the progressive one. He's bringing you into a new area. He's opening up new possibilities for you. In Revelation 12 shows us the devil. Shows us how the devil is. Shows us what the devil does. And that's a good thing, because I think the Bible would have us know the true character of our enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We must be always on guard against the devil's wiles. Well, Revelation 12 is a span of redemptive history. If you start from the beginning, Revelation 12, we're assuming, first of all, that God has chosen to save, and he puts it into action. Israel is mentioned, first part of the chapter, being with child. Israel was the one who brought forth the Messiah. So Israel's with child to bring the Messiah into the world. And the devil is introduced as ready to devour the child when it's born. So there already you see that the devil is seeking to stop redemption. A lot of people don't want to be saved. You talk to people that need to be saved, and they don't want to be saved. The devil doesn't want them to be saved. The devil didn't want anybody to be saved. The devil wanted to stop the whole plan at the birth of Christ. The devil wanted to stop the plan in the wilderness when he tempted Jesus. He wanted to stop redemption. Doesn't want anybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be condemned like he is condemned. But the devil, although poised to devour the Messiah, he did not do it. Verse 5 tells us, "She gave birth to a son, a male child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God into his throne." So he failed that. He was not able to. At this point, though, Jesus has completed redemption. When he rises to God, this is the past history, when he rises to God, he's completed his redemption. It is finished. He was buried. He was raised. He ascended. Through verse 5, that takes us to where we are today. Salvation has been provided. Redemption has been completed. Verse 6 then says, "The woman fled in the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that she would be nourished for 1,260 days. 1,260 days brings us into the time of Revelation. It's a future time, because that 1260 is a marker for the 3.5 years to come in the future. It says here Israel is protected for 1,260 days. And the devil is kicked out of heaven and no longer has access to God. He no longer has free access to the spiritual realms. Joy is in heaven, but woe to the earth. And that brings us to where we are in verse 13. Now, when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. This is just spite. This is not for any gain. It's for spite. He's angry. We understand this because we have that same anger. We attach anger to things and people. The devil attacks Israel, persecutes the woman who gave birth to the male child. But, as we see, God already said, verse 6 to John, that verse 14, wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly in the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time. That's the same 1260 as before. Just in that way said. So he still wasn't done. Verse 15, the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. This is all a vision, of course, that John is seeing. It's not literally going to be like that. That's showing what the devil's going to do and who he's going to try to do it to and how it's going to fail. But again, he is enraged. But he's still not done. Verse 17, having failed there, having failed at the beginning, having failed with Israel and the Messiah, he now turns his attention elsewhere. Verse 17, so the dragon was enraged with the woman, went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That can only be Christians. The nation of Israel sought to be destroyed in some way by the devil. It's interesting that is the number one on the top of the list of every nation surrounding Israel today, the annihilation of Israel. You think that's a coincidence? What do all the Arab nations around Israel want? They want the annihilation of Israel. You wonder why we can't have peace between the Arabs and the Jews? Well, the one wants the annihilation of Israel right off the bat. That's the first thing. They've got to go. But the attempt will fail. But he turns his attention to Christians to wage war against us. Now we see about the end time, we'll see again in chapter 13, that there is attacks upon believers. We've seen the martyrs. This will continue until the end. And this will prove the faith of those who are genuinely believers. But it will be a very difficult time, because the devil is not giving up. Contrast this now next to the goodness of our Lord. You see, what we see happening in chapter 12 is God seeking to save and the devil seeking to condemn. We're seeing God do good, and we're seeing the devil do evil. That's the great contrast. When Peter preached to Cornelius in his house in Acts 10, he talked about Jesus and how Jesus went about doing good. Our Lord healed. He relieved the pain of people. He preached the gospel and sought to save the lost. He raised the dead. The multitudes flocked to him. He fed them. And he did this even knowing that they were iffy. He knew what was in the heart of man. But he helped them. He was good. He was kind. He cared about other people. We can contrast this to a bunch of things today. This thing right here I have in my pocket. This is to help us. But you got to be careful. Because all the people put things on here that will track you. Try to sell you things. Try to see where you're going so that they can target you with ads and get into your business. They'll get you one of these things in the house. You can say, whatever. Ask it a question. And you know what we're promised by Google? They will not listen in on you unless you tell them to. And I believe them with all of my heart, soul, and mind, and strength. But you see, that's what is integrity is lost today with technology. People have technology and they still want to use you for something. They want to get something from you. They don't want to give you directions. They don't want to give you a way to get somewhere easily. They want to spy on you. I don't want to make you paranoid or anything, but there's always some sort of angle that they have. They wouldn't provide it otherwise. I don't use my phone for very much. I use it for texting, calling, and sermon illustrations from time to time. But you know, people use it. It's a useful tool, but they'll use it against you. A lot of things are that way. So the Bible says that the Lord is good and Christians are to mimic the Lord. And not be turned back from that. Look at Galatians 6, verse 9. The thing about Christianity is that we are to be persistent in a world that is very discouraging. Galatians 6, 9 says this. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. You will do good in this world and it will be scoffed at. It will seem to have absolutely no purpose or success. You will seem to be just spinning your wheels. And our Lord, knowing the world's destiny, did good. We're to persist. We're not to grow weary in doing good. It's not to become old to us and impractical. Because the other side is the dark side where we don't do good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. This is told to us because, you know, it gets discouraging. No good deed goes unpunished, somebody said. The good that you do, your children may not appreciate. Your friends may not appreciate. They may not get it. A lot of people may not get it. We're doing good because the Lord does good. We're doing good because it pleases the Lord and it is not pleasing to the devil that we do good. Doing good, according to Hebrews 13, is part of worship. By doing good, Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. We're actually worshiping God by doing good. And what does the devil want? To worship him. Does the devil worship God? No, he does bad. Good is serving the Lord. Romans 2 says it's an indication you're saved. You go about doing good, you're showing that you've been regenerate. You don't get saved by doing good, but if you're good, if you're saved, you do good. It's a very selfless act. Whenever you think about what the devil does and what the Lord does, we see that the Lord is seeking the welfare of others. That's love. The devil is seeking the demise of others. That's hate. So it's selfless. This is a me-first world. And people want their own thing. They want to do their first. They're number one. They seek their own. And even as I said with the phone stuff and technology, they taint that with trying to get something over on you. But the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is all good things. When the Lord saves us, He changes all of that selfishness. Galatians 5:22, there's very number of things in there that shows that we're seeking the good of others, love. And patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. All of those things very clearly show that when we're dealing with others and we're doing good, we will practice those things, but also those other things as well. Joy and peace and self-control. All of that lends itself to doing good as opposed to doing evil. Loving our brother, John says, if you don't do that, you can't love God. But the devil desires we be like him. You're there in Galatians, look back at 19. The deeds of the flesh. As I said, we come out, our father's the devil. The Lord brings us forth. I'm not saying that, but spiritually, our father is the devil. And we do the deeds of our father, unless we are by grace brought into the family of God. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Of which I forewarn you, as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The devil is all about that. The devil is the father of all that. All of those things the devil is quite pleased with us doing. He doesn't care. We're to turn from that. The devil, really, it's hard for us to grasp the level of his hatred. I don't know what happened. I mean, there's some people that get something into their minds and they just never lose it. And sometime, somewhere, the devil had a notion that went awry, and it really sits bad with him now, still. He doesn't ever get over it. He's angry all the time. He is on the warpath all the time. I mean, even our worst enemy sleeps every now and then. The devil's always going about doing things. He wants to overthrow, even if it's a little grain of salt, the glory of Christ in redemption, redeeming sinners. He offered Jesus the world to gain his worship. And one wonders what he offered to demons. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 12 that a third of the stars were swept from heaven by the tail of the dragon. Some think that's an estimate of the number of angels that fell. Because we know there's a bunch of demons too. They all fell. What did he tell them? We can start our own thing. We can have our own club. We can have our own angelic club. It'll be great. Now they're all condemned. Our Lord didn't give in for a moment to the devil's wiles. He was not moved to evil. In fact, he can't be. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt any man, James 1:13 says. But the devil is an eternal optimist. The devil believed he could take Jesus down. So he is glorified in any little thing. Now I say this for this purpose. Do not underestimate the power of the devil to deceive. Look at our nation now. Many are calling for the West to be a mission field, reconverted. You know, meaning that if you want to go to where people don't know the Lord, you know, you used to go from the United States, you go to the dark reaches of the world where they never heard about Jesus. Now, we really need the other way. We need to have a greater missionary thrust in this country, which is a very dark spiritual country. And it has just gone way outside what we probably hoped it or feared we'd ever see. We're not just deceived as a society outside of Christ. We're grossly deceived. People think things that are not even close. That's one of the presidential candidates on the Democratic side this past week, how many genders there were. He said at least three. And he's running for president. And amazingly, he couldn't name all three of them, which, surprise, surprise, I couldn't either. These are the kinds of things you would not have even 20 years ago. But here today, it's all everywhere. It's been accomplished little by little. It seemed like to me it's gone little by little by little by little, and then all of a sudden, poof, it just blew up. It just seems like it's more audacious now. But that's one thing. Titus 3 tells us that we're all that way before we're saved. But let's look at Titus 3. Let me just read that to you. We're already told these things. I mean, it's shocking that we end up, you know, with that. But verse 3, for we also once were selfish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. There's a deception you have outside of Christ that everybody has, where you think the way things are true when they're not. When you think you're on a road that's just fine when it's not. When you think what you're choosing to do is okay. But it's not. You're deceived. And everybody is there at that point at some time. But there is such a thing as Christian deception, which is different than the world's deception. If you still have the world's deception, you're not a Christian. But Christians can be deceived and led down the wrong path. Many churches have been deceived. Many pastors have been deceived and misled their churches. Many false doctrines have gone out. They started dreaming. They started bringing these things in about heaven, people going to heaven in their dreams a while back, and all kinds of books started coming out with it. Nobody nipped that in the bud. And suddenly you got all these heaven tourism books coming out, and the Baptist bookstore selling them all, making a bunch of money from them, a bunch of lies and bad theology. There's so much deception. We can be deceived. And if we are, it will likely start off small, slight, little. Won't seem like much. A thought, a small choice, Then it grows. You know, I've never been a drug addict. I don't plan to be. But I think that's probably how it goes. Try this. It feels good. A little bit more feels good. And just it doesn't take long at all. You're hooked. There are people who want to get off drugs. It's hard. It's a chemical thing now. The deception has now gone into your body, and it's all. And the Lord can break it. But it passes on and on without notice until one day you're far from where you want to be and you're hooked. So it is with Christian deception. We go a little at a time. You're faithful, you're faithful, you're not as faithful, now you're here. You're reading the Bible, now you're not, now you're here. You're up here, you're serving, and just gets away. And one day we're way off. The devil here, angry. The devil's always going to be angry. The devil's always going to be against Christ. He's always going to be against us. But there's one way the entire world is different than the devil. All of us. There's one way even the lost are already not like the devil. And that is that the devil has no chance to turn from his deception. The devil is set. He is doomed. He cannot be redeemed. His rage against the Lord and his alienation from Christ will never end. We humans do have an opportunity for that. That's why we witness. We have an opportunity to be not deceived. We have an opportunity to have our eyes open in the gospel. You notice today how people get their eyes open and are actually more in darkness after their eyes are open than they were before? They get woke and now they're even more blinder. The devil has no chance for redemption, nor any of the fallen angels. But all of us can be saved and all of us can walk in the truth as God has given it in His Word. And we have to be a whole lot different than the devil than just that, but we have that. We have the example of Christ to do good and not grow weary in doing it. Let's pray. Lord, when we think of the devil and how opposed to our good he is, and Lord Jesus, we think of you and how kind and gracious you are in bringing good to us. What a wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus, you are. And that your goodness is poured out upon us abundantly. Well, may we be more like you in the good that we do. And may we also be strong against the deceptions of the devil, who is always seeking, even in a little bit, to bring disrespect to you. In us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The standard final song, number 223, O God, our help in ages past. Stand. Receive her. From everlasting thou art God to endless. Here's the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an owning dawn. Short is the watch that runs the night before the rising sun. Time like an shaking your hand at the back door, but you might want to forego that. If you want to wave to me when you go by, that's perfectly fine. So, Mike, would you dismiss us?